Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Big final hour of the program. We've got Shane Crawford, Hawthorn champion, coming up. And then we've got Brad Davidson. We'll get his mail for Canterbury today. A reminder of that meeting at Warwick Farm yesterday. Moved to Canterbury today. And we've got Phil Moss coming up after 8:30 as well. But the big news overnight is that Nick Kyrgios is through to the semi-finals at Wimbledon. And his favourite with Tab to beat Rafael Nadal. He's $1.65, Kyrgios. Nadal, $2.25. Djokovic is $1.06 against Cameron Norrie of Great Britain, who's a $9 chance. Unfortunately, Alia Tomjanovic was beaten in three sets overnight by Rybakina. But, gee, Kyrgios favourite against Nadal, Loz. That's got to be a lot to do with the abdominal injury that Nadal is battling with, and we saw him battle with in his 4 hours and 21 minutes on court overnight, where he beat Taylor Fritz eventually in a fifth set super tiebreaker. But Kyrgios is favourite to make a maiden Grand Slam final at Wimbledon of all tournaments.
Well, he must be in a lot of doubt, Middo, Nadal, because he's halfway through a Grand Slam, isn't he? He's won the Australian Open, he's won the French Open, he's now into a semi-final of Wimbledon. So if all things being equal, Nadal's favourite every day of the week.
There are some reports coming out of the UK even that he's doubtful even to play. We've watched Rafael Nadal for a long time. It would take something absolutely significant for him not to rock up and play a semi-final at Wimbledon.
That's exactly right. But you know, they're saying that he struggled. Now, we haven't seen the game, so we're only going on what we're reading in the papers. But if he was struggling and he just found something in that game, while you're warm, you can get through it. But it's after you cool down. That's when you know when you've got a real issue. So the next 24 hours will be of concern to him. How he wakes up in the morning, what his medical team think. And that's why we get back to Nick. He's in as good a form as he's ever been in. And if he's ever going to make a final of a Grand Slam, this would be his best ever chance.
By the way, well done to Matt Ebden and Sam Stosur, who were through to the mixed doubles final as well. They got through in three sets against Jack Sock and Coco Gauff overnight, the Americans. So Ebden and Stosur through to the final of the mixed doubles. And, Ebden, he's flying in the doubles, because he and Matt Purcell in the men's doubles are through to the semifinals as well. They won in straight sets overnight. So it's been a good tournament for the Aussies, this Wimbledon. Also, Clarkey, yesterday Steve Smith spoke and reacted to England's win and Baz Ball, as they're calling it over there, the attacking approach under Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes after England's famous triumph against India the other day. And Smith says he's intrigued to see how long it lasts and whether it's sustainable. And it's Smith, as Smith says as well, it really depends on the pitch they're playing on. If England doesn't have, of course, the hottest weather, so the pitches don't crack up and deteriorate as much, generally speaking, do they?
No, they don't. But at the end of the day, next time Australia plays England is in England. So it's the home ground advantage. Every country or every team is better in their own backyard. That's where international cricket's been for a long time now. You know, you take England just beat India in an unbelievable test match and a great victory. You take this English team, the exact same 11 versus that 11, and play them in India, completely different result.
Yeah.
To me, that's the only thing right now where England probably are searching for that X factor, and that's their frontline spinner. And no disrespect to Jack Leach, who's done a good job or a very handy job for England. I think, you know, if you come to somewhere like Australia, for example, your frontline spinner, your number one spinner, is such an important weapon in that team. The other thing, Broad Anderson, they're getting a little bit older, so how much cricket can they play overseas? But in regards to the Aussies, mate, I'd be standing up and looking as well. I think this England team are going to be very tough to beat in the next Ashes series in their own backyard. And, you know, Australia on paper, and maybe it's me, you know, being biased, but to me, Australia on paper should be at the top of the tree in all three formats. I think we have so much talent at the moment. Our players, a lot of our players are at a really good age when it comes to cricket. There's a lot of senior players in that group. I think our bowling attack again on paper, is the best in the world in any conditions. We've got a great frontline spinner whose record's phenomenal. We've got a part-time leg... a second spinner now, Swepson, as a leg spinner. Our part-timers are very handy. There should be no conditions that we don't dominate. The only thing it'll be for Australia will be, you know, the mental side of it, the actual discipline to keep trying to get better and grow as a team, and that hunger and want to want to be the best in the world in all three formats. If we have that, I think we're good enough to beat any team in any conditions. But we'll wait and see. But the attitude, the change of attitude for England has been exceptional. And I think you do have to stand up and congratulate Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum, because all they've done is release the shackles for a lot of these players and said, go and play with freedom. Johnny Bairstow, walk out there and if the first ball's there to drive for four, drive it for four. Take it on. So they're instilling confidence in these players. So, yeah, it makes for great test cricket. I love it.
How are you, Crawf?
Good morning. Yes, going very well. I'll tell you what Clarkie's talking about, you know, when you walk out there and you just take on the first ball. But even me playing C grade, I tell you what, you're crapping your dacks the very first ball.
Are you ever? Mate, there's still nothing worse than a golden duck, buddy, no matter what age or what level. A golden duck is the worst feeling in the world.
So you're saying, hey, yeah, you know what, we're playing against the best in the world, but we're going to take you on.
Definitely.
Well, that is courage to actually do that, and that's why we love it.
Yeah, it's exciting. And that, Croft, you know what it's like in any sport. If you can just release that fear of failure, you're a different player. And that's why, again, you talk about certain players when you get they come across like borderline overconfident or arrogant. It's just their, you know, their self-confidence is the most important part of their game, and they have to believe in themselves. And if you can release that fear, geez, it's a better game.
Yeah, and that's sort of what's happened with the Giants. You know, they've just said, listen, we're gonna come through the middle of the ground.
Yeah,
I don't care about mistakes. We obviously don't want them occurring over and over and over, but you've got to take risks. So it's virtually like, hey, we've pressed the go button and just go for it. And and whatever happens, happens. Mistakes happen, don't care. We'll score. And that's sort of what's happened with them at the moment. They're playing a pretty exciting brand of footy. I love, and obviously the mental side of things, when you can get in players' heads and confidence is sky high, sometimes, you know, especially with the very best players, once the confidence is sky high with a Buddy Franklin or a Dustin Martin, you know, there's just no stopping them. They're just the way they go.
Just on the Giants then, Crawf, like they're looking for a new coach and he's the caretaker coach at the moment, Mark McVay. Do you think he's done enough to get the position full-time, or do you think that Alistair Clarkson is on the radar and that's the guy that they should be going after?
Well, I think Clarkson will be their number one choice, but I think McVay's putting a very good case together, you know, with the team that he's put around him and the style of football they're playing. But, you know, Alistair Clarkson, I think the thing with him is, you know, you've got the Giants, you've got maybe North Melbourne, maybe Essendon, possibly Port Melbourne. Obviously, Gold Coast is off. Stewie Jew's re-signed, which I think that probably would have been Clarkson's preference with that list and the way that the team was coming together. But I think it's more than just coaching a list that you can win. I think it's off-field as well, you know, making sure he can get along with the president. Obviously, he had lots of clashes with Jeff Kennett, much as we love him, but it just takes your energy and your focus away from focusing on developing players and the team all the time when you've got to go into another meeting trying to calm things down with the president and so forth. So I think the off-field stuff is just as important, you know, especially for, you know, the next 4 or 5 years of his coaching career. He just doesn't want to have that. So if it's to go to North Melbourne, he probably needs a lot of change from a board point of view. You know, if it was to go to the Giants, he'd need to make sure that he was aligned with, you know, guys like Dave Matthews and people who run the footy club, and the same with Essendon as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting times. But I think McVay's second in the line, but I think Clarkson's definitely the one they want.
Crawf, what about the Swans, buddy? Tough loss to the Bombers. How are they going to recover?
Oh, they'll recover. they're a good young team, and I think being a young team, you can excuse,
yeah,
you know, some of the losses, but they're still thereabouts. Going to be tough because the dogs are going all right. Mm. You know, I always say, oh, we can't really trust them, but they seem to be a bit more consistent, especially in the second half of this season. But it's going to be a tough game, especially the SCG. But I'm thinking the Swans can get across the line and win. And they're in eighth position at the moment. The Dogs are in tenth. So both teams need to win. So this will be very much like a final. And, yeah, looking forward to that. So I think the Swans can sneak across the line.
Croft, what about all this talk about Dusty Martin and the possibility of him moving to Sydney and playing for the Swans? Has it got legs? Do you think he's more than serious about doing it?
Yeah, it's got legs, like with the Swans. Also, you know, don't rule out the Giants. And don't rule out the Gold Coast Suns. So the problem the clubs have got, you know, is he's getting a big... he's got a big pay packet, which makes it very, very difficult, especially for emerging sides like the Swans and the Suns from a salary cap point of view. But imagine if the Swans get Dustin Martin and they got Buddy Franklin running around for another year, you know, and sure, those players sort of getting towards the end, but they've still got some good football in them. But amazing for those young players to run out onto a field with not just, you know, some of the best players in the game right now, but some of the all-time greats. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be a lot of football clubs, you know, whether it be the Suns, the Swans, or the Giants, trying to find a way that they cannot disrupt their list too much and, yeah, to sneak them in if that's going to be the case. And I think Richmond said all along, listen, we'll just sort of work with him. He had the death of his father's really knocked him. He's still, you know, he's just getting through the other side of that. You know, he's missed a bit of footy. He got injured on the weekend. But prior to that, his form, you know, was red hot, especially in the first half of the game last week. So he's still got a lot of really good football ahead of him. But wouldn't surprise me if he definitely comes this way, whether it be Sydney or even further.
Croft, North Melbourne, are they the worst team in Australian professional sport at the moment? How
Ouch.
Bad are things, and where does it all end up?
Oh, jeez, you're hard.
It's heavy court.
Well,
you know,
they are. This is in disaster territory, isn't it, Croft?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good, and unfortunately, the coach, he's going to go. Like, it's history tells us that, you know, it'll only be a matter of weeks before they make a call on that, because, you know, like, the coaches that come in and take over and try the rebuild, they're normally a sacrificial lamb along the way. They do all the hard work, you know, they sort of get the club, the foundations right, and then you start to build on it. But the problem with North Melbourne, you can't, in the second year of your rebuild, you can't be losing by 100-plus points. And, you know, unfortunately, there's too much noise that's coming out of that football club. You know, there's always information coming out through the media first before, you know, they actually do press conferences. So there's a bit of disharmony, unfortunately. And it's a tough one for David Noble because he's a very good football man. But it's all about your team that you've got to have behind you. You've also got to have the players with you. And they're playing Collingwood this week, who are in really good form. And his son actually plays for Collingwood, John Noble. So maybe he'll have a word to his teammates and say, listen, help my dad out a bit.
Look after the old man.
Maybe throw the game and let's see if we can get him a win just to keep him in his job. But obviously that won't be the case. But, yeah, no, he won't survive much longer, unfortunately. And that's not trying to, you know, I know how tough it is, and I've been at a football club that's been in that situation before. But it still wouldn't surprise me if Alistair Clarkson said, listen, do you know what? You've been 2 years into a rebuild. You know, you're very bottom, but you've had those players developing for a couple of years. Give me a 5-year contract.
Have they got the money, Croft, North Melbourne?
Well, that's... The Giants have got the money. So if he wants to go and coach and get the money, he'll go to the Giants. Simple as that.
Right.
Whereas he'll still get paid very well wherever he goes, but it's got to not be about the money. Like, sure, you still want to be paid well, but you want to go somewhere where you think you can make your mark, which is exactly you know, this would be an amazing story. You know, in 3 or 4 years' time, we're talking about North Melbourne back in the finals. You know, they're back where they belong. And, you know, they're going well and they're doing strong. That would be, I think, if you wanted to be a coach and you wanted to really try and, you know, leave a legacy on the game, that's the role you take. But I think there still needs to be a few changes off field for him to head in that direction. And I don't think it's been ruled out. I really don't think it's been ruled out. So there's still a chance.
Who wins tonight? Melbourne or Geelong? Huge game there at Geelong.
Melbourne were amazing. They were back to their very best last week with their, well, the last couple of weeks with their pressure, which is, that virtually makes them unbeatable, I think, at the MCG. This is down in Geelong, and, you know, the ground there, it sucks you in a bit because the boundaries aren't as, the wings aren't as wide. So Geelong set up and play that ground better than anyone, and it's a huge advantage, probably a 3 or 4 goal advantage down there. Although Melbourne gets Jackson and Gawn back in, so two of their real key pillars, and Melbourne are better. Melbourne are the best team. I still think they're lengths in front of everyone else. And as long as they bring their pressure, I think Geelong will... Because everyone's talking up Geelong, but I think tonight Melbourne will show... they'll show that everyone, hey, please don't even compare us to anyone else. We'll go down there, we'll win. There's nothing better than travelling down the road, especially when it's such an advantage for the home team. To go down and have wins like that, and that'll sort of charge him towards the finals, and they'll win it again, and it's game over.
Thanks so much, Crawf.
No worries. And go the Blues. Come on.
Yes. Good man, Crawf. See you, champion.
See you, boy.
Brad Davidson, good morning.
Yeah, morning, guys.
All right. Canterbury today. How's this track going to play?
Very, 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 very wet, I would imagine. Yeah, a little bit. I woke up this morning and they were able to get on. I see they got a bit of rain overnight. So, yes, so I think obviously there's been quite a few scratchings and small fields and whatnot. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how wet it is. But considering how much rain we've had and the year we've had, I would suggest, I think Brenton Abdullah made the point this morning, it's even a higher penetrometer from when they were struggling to break 40 seconds in the last 600 metres in races. So, yes, it's going to be very wet. So we'll see how that goes today.
How do you reckon the weather will affect the size of the fields on Saturday, Davo?
Well, Loz, it's an interesting one because when I opened to do the field, to do the form yesterday at as a Randwick, I didn't expect to see the field sizes hold up the way they did because really, there shouldn't be 60, 70 scratchings this time because trainers know what they're getting. Like, it's going to be a heavy 10 and absolute bottomless. So if you're going to accept, you know, you would think that only wide barriers would really be turning you off because you kind of know what you're getting. So field sizes have held up really, really well for Randwick on Saturday. It'd be interesting to see how well those field sizes hold up. But I think it'll be, it should be decent. You know, there's some fields there really big size, and even if you cop a few scratchings, it's still going to be decent numbers. So we know Randwick, it's been quite remarkable the last year or so in the way it's been able to cope with the weather. Maybe some there sort of thinking, well, we're not going to get much of a better track in the next few weeks, let's roll the dice and let's run on the heavy track there on the weekend. So we'll see how it pans out, but at the moment shaping up really nicely.
Such a shame in regards to Think It Over, the Queen Elizabeth Stakes winner, out for the spring at the very least.
Yes, very bad news there, wasn't it, yesterday? Out with a tendon injury, unfortunately. It's the time of the year, guys, where we hear about a few horses that unfortunately not going to be able to make it for the spring. They're just starting to get up with their fitness and their work as they head towards returning in a month or two. And unfortunately, that was the news there yesterday. So you know, I've lost Hototsu already for the spring and now another one in Think It Over, who's been such a stalwart, such an improver every preparation and been a common fixture at the top level, hasn't he, now for some time, and just done what he did in the autumn. He was looking forward to a big spring, so bad news there for the stable, and look, hopefully we can just get him back next autumn.
Who's your best heavy 10 horse today?
Oh, look, it's hard, Loz, today. I went race 1, number 4, Hell I Am, just simply because if they're happy to run on the heavy track, then I'm happy to trust John O'Shea's judgment there. Look, he was a good second at Canterbury on a heavy 9 going back in February. I loved his recent trial. And it did look a race in 2 when you looked at the start with between it and Sports Legend, who's been scratched there for the Les Bridge Yard. So I'm happy to go with the race one, number four, Hell I Am, but with a degree of caution all the same on the very wet track today.
And yourself and Pengilly both tipping that horse. And unfortunately, with scratchings coming out, it's $1.80 now with Tab. Race one, number four, Hell I Am. Question on the text line, and I don't know if you've done the form for the highway yet, but can you ask Brad Davo his thoughts on I've Been Trying in the highway on Saturday? Currently favourite, hopefully a promising horse for some Kuma owners.
Yeah, it looks to be tracking up very nicely, doesn't it? Like the last effort, time out of the race was solid enough as well. Gets in with a winnable weight and a nice enough draw. So I think there's enough positives there. I've definitely got it in my top three and still working out which one I'll go on top in that race, but one of the main hopes for sure.
Thanks so much, mate.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Aussie Simon Clark won Stage 5 of the Tour de France overnight in a photo finish. News in the NFL, Cleveland quarterback Baker Mayfield. Loz is off to the Carolina Panthers. So with Deshaun Watson, who's going to be facing suspension anyway. And you know,
does that mean, though, that they're hoping or thinking that Deshaun Watson mightn't get the season, which was expected?
Initially, they didn't think that, Cleveland, but it's all but certain now that he's going to be suspended for, well, they think the whole season coming up for all
why
the
would
lawsuits
you let,
he's facing.
Why would you let...
Because it's a bit there. Different in the NFL, because Baker Mayfield sees himself as a franchise quarterback.
Got that.
He has no interest, and the franchises even don't expect the players to. And it's the same with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Those players have no interest in helping out the team that's essentially dumped them for something else, for someone else, despite the circumstances.
And I suppose if you've got someone on big money there, why have him? When he's not going to try for you.
The other thing, they also want to get something for that player.
Yep.
So when you let them go before the end of the contract, you're going to get something, obviously, in return. And they've got, a fourth or a fifth round draft pick from Carolina as well for letting him go. Cleveland still has to play
so
the bulk of his contract.
So they get no player, just a draft pick.
A draft pick, yeah.
In the fourth or fifth round.
But it's he's.
I know.
You could argue he's no star. Maybe top 25 quarterback at best.
Geez, where does that leave them? They've got to go after a quarterback then.
They've got huge concerns because of the situation with Deshaun Watson, who they've signed on this massive contract.
So for a short term deal, they've got to obviously, they've got to try and get a quarterback. But geez. They're in a AFC North, aren't they? So they've got Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow for the Bengals. Who's the Pittsburgh quarterback?
Well,
now?
They've got some issues
Is
as
it
well
Rudolph?
At quarterback.
Mason Rudolph?
Oh, he won't be playing. I'm trying to think who they signed, Loz. They got someone. They obviously drafted Kenny Pickett, but he's not going to be up to starting yet. Just off the top of my head, I forgot who their quarterback
is. They're probably just conceded then, the Browns.
Oh,
hoping for the best, but
they've got a
just
great
conceded.
Roster. So they were thinking, certainly last season, they were thinking Super Bowl. That certainly didn't happen. Because they made the championship game only the year before.
Year before, yeah. And they all loved Baker.
Yeah, so they've got some issues with the situation with Deshaun Watson. But Mitch Trubisky, they got Pittsburgh.
Oh, from Chicago.
So, they've got some issues there. They need one. So it's only 2 months until the start of the NFL season. Only 1 month till the start of the Premier League season. And Mossy's coming up shortly. And Man City forward Raheem Sterling's agreed to terms with Chelsea, which is Chelsea's first major signing under their new owners. And they've got a consortium led by someone who's a part owner of the LA Dodgers in Major League Baseball. Also yesterday, Loz, wanted to mention with the Warriors, G. Cameron George, the chief executive, was absolutely copping it from the New Zealand media at a conference yesterday over the departure of Reece Walsh, and who's apparently agreed to terms on a 3-year deal with Brisbane. Now, George noted, and we probably didn't give this enough emphasis yesterday, the change in Walsh's personal circumstances in the fact that he's broken up with his partner and they have an infant child. And that is, George was at pains to point out, that's a big reason for the change in circumstances and the fact the club's just letting him go. The Dolphins were going to pay Walsh, though, around $700,000, according to reports, a season, whereas Brisbane are going to have him for $4 to $4.50. So the Dolphins, who aren't happy, by the way, I mean, this is no voting confidence in them, that's for sure. The fact that Reece Walsh, who's turning 20 this week, or in the next few days, is taking much less than he could have got at the Dolphins to go somewhere where he clearly perceives he can win.
Yeah, and the Warriors also wanted to make sure it wasn't about money, and it was the right reason that Reece Walsh didn't want to move to New Zealand. If he's saying it's personal reasons, then he will accept what's on offer and the conditions associated around that. Because if he was just to get the tick of approval just to leave the Warriors, then all of a sudden he's doubling the amount of money he's on now. So I reckon the Warriors have thought about that and thought, well, we'll test him out here to see whether it really is fair dinkum and he wants to leave for personal reasons. But Brisbane will make sure that deal gets done. But I'd also be thinking, if you're Brisbane, you can never have enough good players, all right? You find a position for them. But I just wonder where Selwyn Cobbo fits into the picture here as well. I wonder what he's thinking, what he's been told, whether he was identified as the long-term fullback, just recently re-signed. Unless they've said to Selwyn, well, you might move you to fullback and Reece Walsh into the halves, or you might play centre. I think we'll find out a little bit more after Reece Walsh has signed where he fits into the scenario. But the Broncos, off the back of what they've been able to achieve this year, that's a big pickup for them.
Herbie Farmworth wants to play there as well at fullback. They're queuing up to play fullback at the Broncos.
Well, you know why?
100%. More cash for fullbacks.
More cashola.
I am Aussie.
I'm fantastic, Mido. Not bad at all. It's the preamble into Friday, isn't it?
It is. I want to ask you about a story I read earlier this week in regards to Usain Bolt. Now, were you coach when Usain Bolt was there?
No, I certainly wasn't. It was Mike Mulvey.
Okay. Well, it emerged this week that he recently made some comments about his stint at the Mariners, saying the level of football here in Australia wasn't good, that he should have stayed in Europe. Now, what was the prevailing thoughts on Usain Bolt's football ability?
Well, I think he said it himself. If the football here was crap and he didn't get a contract, what does that say about his ability?
Yeah, I saw quite a few comments from, you know, Australian football media and personalities going, hang on, mate, you were rubbish. You were rubbish, and yet he sunk the boot into us.
Can I, Mido, let me put it this way. I have got the utmost respect for Usain Bolt as a sprinter.
For sure.
But as a footballer, he's a fantastic sprinter. he had nothing. Honestly, I wouldn't have signed him for my Sunday Park football team, and the whole thing was a bit of a circus, a bit of a PR stunt. He was never going to get a contract. He was never the irony was, and I'll never forget the game. It was out at Campbelltown Sports Stadium, and I think he scored a goal. It was the tap in, but if he had any football understanding, he would have scored another goal that day. But the fastest man on the planet was caught flat footed on his heels and didn't attack the ball. And you know that just showed that he had a lack of understanding of the game. But that's a very isolated incident, but I was commentating the game. But he just was nowhere near it. And for him to come out publicly and slam the standard of football in this country, I thought was really, really petulant.
Yeah. Mossy, speaking of contracts, Ronaldo hasn't turned up the preseason. Is that correct? With United?
That's correct, Clarkey. Yep. He's cited personal reasons or family reasons, but they're about to leave on an Asian preseason tour, Manchester United. He hasn't fronted for the first 2 days of preseason training. I think they board a flight on Friday. So that just speaks to, you know, trouble in the waters, and he's forcing the issue a little bit. Obviously, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but it looks as though he doesn't want to be part of Erik ten Hag's rebuild at United, and he wants Champions League football. But I did see a headline last night that Oliver Kahn, who's the sporting director at Bayern Munich, has ruled out a move for Ronaldo. Now, I thought if he was going to leave the Premier League, he'd look to go to Germany and Bayern because of Champions League, and he wants to continue his legacy in Champions League, but that looks like it's a no-go.
News overnight that Raheem Sterling has agreed to terms at Chelsea as well to leave Manchester City. So that's Chelsea's first major signing under their new owners.
Yeah, that's right. £45 million. The deal's done. Raheem Sterling searching for a bit more game time. It was interesting. He had a really good Euros for England, if you remember, Mido. And then he went back to Manchester City and didn't seem to be Pep Guardiola's first choice. Mikel Arteta, who is now in charge. I beg your pardon. I'm getting my clubs mixed up there. He's now gone to Chelsea, as you said, under Tuchel. Thomas Tuchel, and I think he'll get a lot more game time there. And I think it's a good pickup. He was good last season for Manchester City when he got game time. I think he's a good pickup for Tuchel.
Arsenal on the verge of becoming a force again. Now, they've signed Gabriel Jesus from City. They've made four signings so far. Mikel Arteta there at Arsenal. I was having a look at the market, though. They're still $51. They're the same price as Newcastle to win the Premier League.
I think they've done well, Mido.
Yeah, so do I.
And I think this is a really big season for Mikel Arteta. I think he's gone in there. He's put his stamp on the team, the way they play, and also now in the transfer market. I think he's got to prove that he's a manager that can take them to the next level this season. And if that doesn't happen, I don't think he'll last long. There was also a lot of heat on him last season. He survived that. And they were that team that you sort of thought threatened to, but never really did. This season, I think, is massive for Mikel Arteta and all Arsenal fans. I think there's a lot of optimism around the squad that he's put together. Can he be the manager that takes them to that next level?
What's the latest news around the Socceroos, mate?
The Socceroos, Loz, they're going to be playing in Brisbane. Their farewell World Cup game against New Zealand, so it's a two-leg series against New Zealand. One of the first legs at home in Brisbane, and the second one in New Zealand. Graham Arnold has said there's only a short turnaround between the two, so we'll probably play two different teams, give everyone a chance to force their way into the World Cup team for the trip to Qatar. And interestingly, Arnie's already started not the mind games, but getting in inside his players' heads by saying, you know, the World Cup, the advantage that the Socceroos are going to have is that it's pretty much like playing at home. They've played so many games in Qatar in the qualifiers. Don't forget, they only played four games out of 20 at home in Australia. The rest were home games in Qatar, if you like. They played four there and they won four. So using that as a real shot in the arm, I guess, for the players' confidence leading into that World Cup.
How's your off-season going, Mossy?
I need to step it up, Mido, to be honest.
You need to step it up?
Yeah, I need to step the off-season up. I've been a little bit sloppy, a little bit lazy.
Oh, enjoy it, Mossy.
A couple of weeks ago.
Enjoy it. Take a break, buddy.
I don't mix in the same circles as you, so...
trust me, that's a good thing for you. that is a positive for you.
All I ever see on social media is you at the gym.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I need that. I need that structure and routine. The gym saves my life.
Yeah.
Sweat it out, put it back in.
Tell you what I'm going to do today, Mossy. I'm sick of us talking about Clark at the gym.
You going back?
I'm talking about myself at the gym. I'm going to post a photo
and
make it Instagram official.
Yeah, do it in the mirror, Loz. Do a selfie in the mirror.
Make sure you're wearing a singlet.
Just lift your shirt up so we can see that six-pack you got
pudgy.
Going.
No, I'm a bit pudgy at the moment.
No, you know what Loz needs to show off? He needs to show his guns.
Yeah, he's going to need someone else to take the photo.
All right, you know what I'm going to do, boys? I'm going to post a shot of me in the gym today.
Okay. Please do.
You're taking the wife to the gym?
No. I'll get someone there, and you watch my arms. I'm just going to do arms for half an hour.
And then post it. Yeah, I love it.
There you go.
Love it.
That's what I'm going to do, boys. That's my job today.
I'll have to
follow you. I don't really understand Instagram too well, but I'll have to follow you on it, Loz.
Neither do I, mate. I've just started discovering it. I was on Instagram, two or three years ago, and I've since posted about 16 photos over that period of time. But I'm starting to learn a little bit more about it.
He's an influencer.
I'm an influencer. That's why I'm calling myself.
Just to stalk my kids, just so I know where they are and what they're up to.
Mm.
My kids, by the way.
Yeah.
clarify that.
Mossy, you have a great weekend, mate. Thanks so much.
Good on you, boys. Take care.
We're just seeing here on our monitors in the studio that it's World Chocolate Day. So I don't have to feel bad about devouring that chocolate.
Happy World Chocolate Day to you too, Mido. I'll tell you what, though.
What does
cake,
it mean, though?
You can eat cake or chocolate.
What's the difference between today and yesterday? That's all it means.
Well, today you celebrate,
celebrate it.
So what's the difference between today and yesterday? Mm.
Well, you don't have to hide it.
Celebrate it every day.
Be a secret eater.
Yeah. So you can eat chocolate today.
Come out of the closet.
And someone might say something to you, why are you eating chocolate? And you can just say, because I can today, because we're celebrating it.
Okay, I'm out of the closet today with my chocolate eating.
Yep.
Love it. Go hard. What's your go-to?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Top Deck's my favourite, I think.
You know that Dairy Milk Crunchy?
Ooh.
Like the bar, like the block.
Mm.
Yeah, I can eat that
old
in one
gold.
Go.
I like Old Gold.
Yuck. yuck, Loz.
Dark
old
chocolate is
gold.
Beautiful.
No, I don't mind dark chocolate.
No way. Not when
just
you can eat anything.
Just choice. Mm. Yeah.
Calories. What are your thoughts on the Bounty? Yeah. I love the Bounty.
Terrible.
I love it.
Rubbish.
Tim Tams.
Who likes Bounties?
Tim Tams are good. Mm. I love Bounties.
Please.
You peanut M&M's?
Nah,
very good.
Just
on the couch
ones.
Watching the footy.
Dave Stanley, morning to you.
Morning, boys. Morning.
Bounty.
The old goal goes
on.
What
you go to, DS? What you go to?
Do you know
to?
What? I'm not really as much as it might surprise. I'm not a sweet tooth.
What? Savoury man.
Mate, you put 1,000 springers in front of me or the Chico rolls or any of that stuff.
The deep fried.
He loves a fry up.
Actually, here's a question. So I've gone to the shops. I've had a mini. There's been a mini blow up here.
Oh no.
Not a blow up, but just a bit of conjecture. So I call it Cabana, right? So I said I'll get some Cabana and cheese because we're having people over on the weekend. And
what's Cabana?
Well, that's it must be a Sydney and Queensland thing.
It's
growing up,
right?
It was always Cabana.
Cabanossi.
Cabanossi.
The big long stick with the red, the frame.
Yeah, the big red thing in your
Cabana,
you put it
something
out.
You sit under, isn't it?
Cabanossi.
That's exactly what I just got before. What? I'm thinking, well, I thought that's what it was called. So you remember when I've been going to the deli and going, hey, mate, can I have a couple of Cabanas?
Pull out the big umbrella.
Shop next door.
the bloke's looking at me going, what's going on? Oh, that'll do me. But yeah, no, savoury. Savory, but I'm with you with the old gold. Gee, that reminds me of my grandparents' day.
Yeah, that's
the old gold, the rum and raisin. And if you're off, if you snuck some,
if you snuck some too.
Because rewrap the foil again the same way. That's the problem with that type of chocolate. Once if there's foil involved, you can never wrap it up the same way as when you got it.
So you get caught
every time.
What would they call those butterscotch things that the oldies would have? They probably still have them these days. You know when you know they'd have like the little lollies?
Butterscotch menthols.
Werthers or with?
Oh, yeah, Werthers Originals.
Yeah,
Werthers Originals.
Yeah, they're like that caramel. They're beautiful.
There you go. Go and buy a packet, Clarky, for chocolate day.
Can you get those at the servo? The Werthers?
Remember the last time you were in a shop, pup? Send someone down to get something,
please,
mate.
Please.
By the way, Dave.
Yes, mate.
Loz is going to post an Instagram shot of himself at the gym today. So just get ready. We just got a text from his neighbour as well.
There's reports, yeah.
This will be good.
Well, apparently he's driving around with the windows down. There was a hurricane outside, a low pressure system off the coast, and you're driving around with the windows down, Loz, just hoping people to see the arms. What's going on?
It's because they tinted the windows. Loz wants people to see it tin, so he puts them out. Rain, hail, or shine.
Your neighbour says even his wife asked why he was driving around with a window down in the rain.
He's
very
idiot.
Good.
He's an idiot.
Boys, yesterday we were meant to have Warwick Farm Racing. Obviously, though, that's now moved across to Canterbury today. And I don't know if you guys have popped your head outside there at French's Forest, but the blue skies and sun. So they're tipping we may get a few. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Obviously, mate, I've got rain. I'm up the road. I've got nothing but rain and clouds here.
Mate, are you fitting?
Seriously.
Papa,
my head's out the window now.
Well, there's blue sky where I am. There's blue sky where I am. So,
are you Coogee?
Clovelly, yeah.
Well,
there's
mate,
blue sky.
More clues, I've got snow. So, check the other window. You're looking at the good side.
Mind you, your joint is much bigger than mine, so maybe imagine that. It's raining on one side of Pups and sunny on the other side. That's how good he's going. So we've got Canterbury Racing today. Gerald Ryan's going to join us a little bit later on the show. Actually, not, and Sterling Alexson as well. We're going to have Richard Callender with a preview of Canterbury Racing. Glyn Schofield, Jock Gologly, Chris Reed. It's going to be a good Thursday. Go and enjoy some sunshine, boys.
Before you go...
I'm going the other side of the house.
Before you go, I'm going to get in trouble.
What?
Thinking about your next build or renovation, well, Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. And now there's advice and tips to get you started. They even have a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. Just go to www.wideline.com.au.
Boys, I've got some news about Pretty Wild. I'll tell you tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
No, have a good day,
you blokes.
7 seconds left.
Have a good day. I'll tell you tomorrow.
What's happened?
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Oh,
tune in. Don't be late. 5:30. Get out of bed.
I'm going.
See you in the morning.
Have a good day, Michael. Have a good day, Laurie. Arms day for Laurie and Mido. He's on fire as always. They'll be back tomorrow morning, 5:30, the Big Sports Breakfast crew. And Jamie Rogers as well with the news. We'll get to Jamie now, the headlines. Glyn Schofield is coming up next, our first guest on Racing HQ.